Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zulak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Brady at the Met Gala last night, Robert Kraft was there as well. Did they talk? We have no idea. So do you feel like a contract is imminent? There seems to be a lot of chatter on Tom Brady's contract, despite there being no evidence that the team and the quarterback are actually working on a new contract.
Well, here's your problem. In past years, when they would go to the quarterback and say, hey, we want to do an extension, it was usually to do what? Save salary cap room, right? Now, they can go to Brady and say, hey, you're it, you know, 22, 24, whatever the number's at. And I think it's actually technically, Tom Kearns here has it at 20.5. I think it's 22. It's not 14. People need to stop saying 14, 15. It's not in that range. It's the cap number, because that's what your team has to spend for that year. You can't go and give him a 5 or 6 year extension to where you could spread it out over the entirety of that, right? What's the max? 3 years? He's going to play 3 years. So that would mean you're going to give him a 1 year extension because there's 2 years left, or you're just going to tear it up and redo it. The problem is, if you're going to go to him right now and say, Tom, we want to tear it up for you right now, and we want to do a 3 year deal, you're guaranteeing every single dollar of that deal. You understand what I'm saying? Because the number right now, Matt Ryan's in at 30. Kirk Cousins is in at 27.5, 28. Jimmy Garoppolo is third at 27. So when these deals are kicked in and they're going, guess who's signing next, guys, in a couple weeks? Aaron Rodgers. He's going to go above Ryan. So he'll probably be at 31 or 32 per. So if you're going to go to Tom, you got to say, okay, we're going to tear it up and fully guarantee a three-year deal. What's that number at? You got to go at what the franchise tag would be for a quarterback in another year or two. And that's 30. So how does it make sense for you to go to Brady and say, we want to tear your deal up, give you a three-year extension at $90 million and fully guarantee it? How does that help the team from a cap number? It doesn't. The way you really want to help
the
team.
So what point are you arriving at there?
The point I'm arriving at is I could see the team letting these 2 years ride, and then you franchise. If he's still playing at a high level, you franchise him and guarantee him a one-year, $32 million deal in 2 years.
So you think that they would franchise him and absorb that $32 million hit in one single season?
Because
you're
on the hook for 1 year for that year for $32 million.
You think that the cap number's probably going to be 30 for a season?
Yes. Makes sense, right? Because you're not saving money going to him now. You see, you're not creating cap space.
No, but if you're going to give him that $32 million in one particular season, you're paying a price for having waited over the course of 2 years.
Yeah, and this
you're
is where,
buying something with it. It's not as if...
Right.
Right? But if you're doing a more steady management of the cap, you wouldn't do it that way.
And this is where the quarterback has won this one again, because he's outlived the plan again. Because you're not going to give a five-year deal to a 41-year-old quarterback.
No, you're
that
not
makes no
do
sense.
That.
You can't.
Well,
he beat you again.
Wait, no.
He's got you by the you know what's. Is what he does.
You can give him, but you can give him that contract.
You can, but
you just have to be able to get out of it at some point.
Yeah, you got to get freaking creative in year three.
I don't think you have to get that creative if you.
Okay.
You have to basically.
Well, you're guaranteeing
do a longer term deal.
You're guaranteeing the whole front
to
end
to be able to spread it out and front load it, and you've got to be able to get out of the deal in the back years.
We'll tag on two additional mystery years and help sort of absorb the load. Even though we're giving you $90 million in the first three, that's where you're at with that one.
You don't have to get that creative if you just say, you know what, we're spending X on the quarterback position, and if we have a guy making $800,000 that's starting for us as a rookie or a second year guy. That quarterback position's already slotted in there, and that's the rest of it's dead money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not real money, dead money.
If they're just sitting there saying, you know what, we're going to slot this for the quarterback position for the next 5 years.
I get what you're saying.
How many years Brady plays great, the other year, as long as it's not a $10 million guy, that dead money will be that guy's salary, basically.
Can we just go by the cash out for Tom Brady over like the last 5 years to really get a sense of what he's making?
Yeah.
Because the accounting gets a little funny. based on where you're tearing up the old deal, the money on the new deal, and a lot of people get confused by that $28 million. That was the guaranteed signing bonus in the last one.
Yes, you can't sit there and you can't just say he's taking a break and giving you, he's only $14 million this year, because they fronted you the $8 million for the year.
Well, then just look at the money he's been paid every season. What year do you want me to start?
Let's go back before Super Bowl 49.
Okay, so 2014.
Yeah.
Here are his salaries and cash out, including bonuses, including signing bonuses, including roster bonuses. $19 million, $13 million, just under $15 million, $15 million, and then the next 2 years are $15 and $15. That should give you an idea what he's been making and what he will make. That's including all the bonus money. That's not a lot compared to the rest of the league.
That's the appreciation part. And again, I go back to the comments of what Arthur Blank said about his quarterback. Hey, we know the status of the league. We know the revenue that's coming in. The league is flourishing. We're rewarding this quarterback for what he's done for us and what he's earned. Matthew has earned this deal. Matthew doesn't want a damn thing.
Like, don't do the math on me and try and tell me that Tom Brady's been well paid or well compensated. He hasn't. That's a fact.
Those are kicking the balls to him if he's looking at it based on production.
But do you know what I sort of gripe with on this? Brady's picking the wrong time to all of a sudden get upset and want to make market value if that's what he wants. I don't know that. I'm making a kind of a leap there and an assumption.
Can't do it when they have Jimmy Garoppolo there.
You can't sit there and complain. Do it when you're 41.
Here's what we'll do, Tom.
That's the wrong time to do it.
We got the kid. We'll go with the kid.
He should have done it when he was 30 and 35. Yeah. That's what he should have been doing this.
Yeah.
If it was all about money. And again, we're making assumptions.
But he's always prided himself on that.
We're speculating. And so guilty as charged.
You know, then you go out there and you find out what you earn doing this, that, or the other. And like, wow, I can make a lot of money doing these appearances and stuff.
Okay, that's Brady's contract. Also, Karen Garigian of the Herald had an item over the weekend on Sunday that the team has started to look at Rob Gronkowski's contract, and there's some level of negotiations or discussions that are happening.
That's good. So the team's starting to look at that and say, you know what? This guy should be earning more than what he's getting. You got to readjust expectations of what it is and what you pay people according to what the league is doing.
The fact that they're engaging tells me they're going to find some sort of middle ground and get that done.
And I think that's smart that Drew Rosenhaus got his ass on a plane when Rob embarrassed himself with the motocross event. And that Tuesday after that, 2 days after that, they're sitting there in Bill's office and they're trying to work this thing out and get things right. And as I said, Rosenhaus has a great relationship with Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick does the deal. He does the contracts.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Some items on the Patriots. On top of the Celtics today, Red Sox and Yankees open a series tonight in the Bronx. We need to get to that breakdown of these two teams, the hottest teams in baseball. We'll do it next.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox Yankees begins tonight. Very important series. These head-to-head games, very important for the American League East. And just fun.
Yeah, feels like old-time baseball is back a little bit.
There is a
and that's good.
Stunning stat. I mean, when you think about the Red Sox and Yankees battling one another, right? What years do you point to?
Oh, early 2000s. Late 90s, early 2000s.
All right, well, yeah. Pick a specific year if you could.
All right. Let's go Pedro. Let's go 97, 98.
Wouldn't you think, like, I don't know, 2003, 2004, maybe 05 would be sort of the three-year window?
Yeah.
Of, you know, I mean, the ALCS in both 03 and 04.
Yeah. Post them winning their five, right.
And the Red Sox weren't great prior to that. For a stretch, for a couple of years. I know that they were in the ALCS in 99, but Red Sox kind of took a step back. Tonight will be the first time that the Red Sox and the Yankees will play each other with the two best records in Major League Baseball since 2002.
That's about right.
Yeah. So at no point in all those great years of the two teams battling, and really 03 and 04, at no point with those 19 games a year did those two teams have the two best records in baseball. Sort of amazing. I was surprised by that.
It is, but you also figure in that they were battling each other in those years, too, and handing each other losses. It's not like, you know, you can't have the best records in baseball if your teams are really that good and you're beating up on each other for a couple of series, and that hands you more losses. You know, you're not getting the sweeps against lesser teams every other series. So it makes sense. It's a little surprising, but it also makes sense.
Yeah, what's nice is you're the only show in town tonight, so it's full viewership.
No other shows.
You don't have to complain and bitch about. Well, I mean, neither teams are. Bruins are out. Celtics are still playing. It's an off night tonight.
Okay,
so you're the only show in town right now, and it's a good opponent. It's the opponent. It's them in Houston. Okay, it's the opponent.
Michael Silverman of the Boston Herald, in preparation of this series, has gone throughout the roster for each team. The Yankees and Red Sox, and he has done it positionally. Who has the better team? Who do you think has the better team altogether?
I think what you'll find when you go through it player by player that the Red Sox have the better team.
I think the Red Sox have the better team, but I will tell you that
Yankees have better star
power. One of the
power.
Reasons prior to the year that I said the Red Sox have the better team is that I said the Red Sox have a good bullpen and they have good starting pitching. They have better starting pitching than New York, and ultimately at the end of the day that's going to be a big help. And by the way, the Red Sox lineup is pretty good. Red Sox bullpen has not been pretty good. The Yankees bullpen has been stellar. So there are things to watch that have been a little different than what I would have projected. So he goes position by position. At first base, he has Hanley Ramirez versus Neil Walker / Greg Bird. Bird, who's been out with an ankle injury, yep. But is expected to return for the Yankees soon. And then he goes to Ramirez, a 34-year-old former shortstop, is how he puts him in this story.
Yeah. Well, I'd still go Hanley Ramirez on that one.
Okay, you know what
based
else
based on the year he's having?
Do you know what I think Hanley is outrageous in this comparison?
What?
Outrageous, Michael Silverman, that the Yankees get to put Neil Walker and Greg Bird as a two-part position there, yet the Red Sox are somehow not allowed to have Mitch Hanley Moreland? Ramirez / Mitch Moreland.
Yeah, Mitchie Two-Bags?
If you're going to compare two players to one, you can do the two-to-two there.
Even more of an advantage Red Sox, Red Sox.
Advantage Red Sox at first base.
Yeah.
He chose Neil Walker and Greg Bird. Greg Bird, who hasn't played, and Neil Walker, who, hey, listen, had a decent career, but sort of sucks.
That's just the man being having an agenda then against Hanley Ramirez.
It just feels there's something there.
Hey, taking a shot, putting a former position in there. Like, why do you even have to put the former position in Hanley?
I don't know why.
The future as part of that reasoning, right?
Like, yeah, but that's not. Listen,
now,
I'm
really
right now.
Right now, tonight.
Right now. For this season. Well, let's limit future. It to this season, 2018.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I'm saying the cop-out for him is that he throws the future
that's,
in there.
And that's a cop-out. It's exactly what you said it was. Cop-out. We don't do that. We don't do cop-outs. Second base. At least he gives the Red Sox the benefit of the doubt here, the way he did with Greg Bird, by saying Dustin Pedroia with Eduardo Nunez / Dustin Pedroia versus Gleyber Day. Gleyber Torres, who just came up for the Yankees a week ago. He says, do I have to choose? Torres is a young, gifted defensive infielder who became the option during the winter. When the Yankees wisely decided very good second baseman Starlin Castro was worth trading in the deal for Giancarlo Stanton.
It is Gleyber Day!
Gleyber Day! He's the Gleyber of the month!
And he is the Gleyber of the month!
He says Torres has been playing pretty well, certainly much better than Nunez, and Pedroia is a huge question mark, so he takes the young guy in Gleyber Torres for the New York Yankees, who hit a walk-off as the youngest Yankee to hit a walk-off home run the other day. Who would you take? Come on.
I'd take the Red Sox. If you have Pedroia coming back, and you have the option to go to Pedroia, if it's Jelini versus this kid, I'd go with the kid.
Okay, but...
Are we going to slash position this thing again?
Dustin Pedroia might be jelly knee too when he gets back.
I doubt he will be.
This kid's like 5-star prospect. Like,
yeah, I'd take Gleyber Torres.
Let's go with him.
I don't mind giving
all
him
right,
the
give
nod.
It to the kid then.
I'd give the nod to Torres. You don't have to.
I go with the known though.
Okay,
I go with the known going into tonight.
Well, your known tonight is Eduardo Nunez.
I'll take the kid. Let's take the kid.
Okay.
Advantage Yankees.
Advantage Yankees. That's what Silverman went with. Shortstop, Bogarts versus Didi.
I'll take Didi.
You're taking Didi. Yeah. Why?
Just pure athletic ability, upside. You know, the fact the leg might be bugging. Bogarts a little bit. Still feel that pin and needles in there. I don't like that. I don't like that comment by him the other week.
Okay, I'm not taking Didi. I'm taking Bogarts, and I'm fully going to admit that defensively, Didi Gregorius is a better shortstop. That's not exactly a earth-shattering opinion.
Offensively, he is too.
Well, yeah. He has been. He's hit a lot of home runs, Didi
yeah,
has.
He's good.
But he plays in New York, and that's my issue with it.
What's that mean?
He plays in that small ballpark.
That's what plays into the bright lights. Like that's all. You got to add the pressure.
I think if you put
Xander
Bogarts in New York, he'd hit more home runs than he has playing at Fenway. I do. I think that Xander Bogarts would hit more home runs if he played in Yankee Stadium. I think the potential for Bogarts as a hitter, and we just started to see that. We just started to see that before the injury.
Problem is, he hasn't put it together. He's not consistent.
I know.
Gregorius is way more consistent.
Yeah. And you're shortstop for the Yankees. That's the position, man.
I still like Xander Bogarts' potential. But for the here and now, like tonight, Didi Gregorius.
There you go.
More
okay.
For all the reasons your game.
We're talking about the game tonight.
More athletic and hits for power.
Okay.
He does. He does hit home runs. And on top of it, he's a better defender. So I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
I just think the potential for Bogarts is greater. Much greater than what he's done in his career. But you're right. He hasn't put it together yet. He hasn't done it yet. Third base. Devers versus Andujar. That's an easy one. Devers. Don't even need to discuss it.
Same way it is for second base for the Yankees.
Left field. Benintendi versus Brett Gardner.
Benintendi.
Center field. Jackie Bradley Jr. versus Aaron Hicks.
Jackie Bradley Jr. versus anybody.
You can tell me it was Jackie Bradley Jr. versus Rob Poole today,
yep.
And I'd take Rob Poole.
Yep, or a monkey out there with one of those wind-up boxes that's I'd take that guy.
Yep. Aaron Hicks gets the win there. Right field, and this is where I think it gets fun. Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge? Who do you want on your team?
I'd take Judge.
I'd take Mookie Betts. Yeah. Mookie Betts would be my guy. Give me Mookie Betts.
Who if I'm making a team, I'd like to move Betts to center and keep.
There
judging,
you go,
right?
Pal.
Well, yeah, but that's if you
can, eliminate
but
the
no,
problem.
I know. Hold on.
Well, wait a minute.
You can take one or the other.
Why
on your team doesn't matter. Positionless. Betts or Judge. Who do you want? Who can do more for your team?
Oh, probably Betts.
There you go. There's
but
my
if,
answer.
If I'm the owner, I'm taking Judge. If I'm the coach, I want Betts. If I'm the owner, I want Judge.
I bet you the Yankees would trade one
I want
for
the
one.
Face.
Yankees would make
I want
that
the
trade.
Face of baseball.
If you offered the Yankees right now Mookie Betts for Aaron Judge, would
absolutely.
They do the trade? They definitely would.
Because they have Stan.
Oh, God. Get Judge here.
They would do the
oh.
deal. No, I'm not doing that.
Why can't you just pop Benintendi to center and let's put her Martinez out in left?
DH. JD,
eliminate JBJ.
JD Martinez or Giancarlo Stanton?
I take Stanton.
Yeah, I take Stanton too. Not for the next 10 years.
No.
I don't want Stanton.
Talking about this week.
No.
Right now, this
Stanton.
Week.
Stanton. Stanton. Over the last 3 years. Stanton,
can I ask you a question before
Stanton
you get...
Stanton has 113 home runs versus 105 for J.D. Martinez. Martinez has the edge in batting average over those 3 years, 296 to 265.
Was this a little... Is this easy... Would that this would have been an easier question before the season started, seeing J.D. Martinez every day. I still think it's Stanton, but it gets harder to pick Stanton the more you see Martinez play every day.
Yeah, I think these
with
guys
you,
are
Matt,
a lot closer.
These complicated things, yes.
Than maybe you would have thought. Catcher's an easy one. Vasquez or Gary Sanchez, you're taking Gary Sanchez. And the rotation, starting rotation. Would you take the Yankees rotation or the Red Sox rotation?
Take the Red Sox rotation.
I would too. I think
even with David Price's cold hands.
And by the way, David Price is going to get shelled down there. That's my expectation.
When's that one? Tomorrow night? Damn it.
Yeah, he's got the Celtics going against him, so he's got a little distraction. So.
Of course he does. What can he be tonight?
I mean, he's going to get shelled. He always does. He's been terrible against the Yankees. 2-5 in his Red Sox career against the Yankees with an ERA of 7.5. What do you think's going to happen?
I'd take Rob Poole.
65 hits over 43 and two-thirds innings.
Christmas.
including 8 home runs. Don't forget those. He'll get shelled, like he typically does. So the Red Sox better come ready to hit in their series against the Yankees. 617-779-0985. By the way, the Red Sox and Yankees are going. They're going to London, Zoe.
Hello.
They're going to London next year.
Hello.
And Mookie Betts is related to a soon-to-be member of royalty. Did you see this story?
I did not.
I want to tell you about it.
Good.
I'll tell you about that. Got a Bruins stock coming up later in the hour as well.
Sports Hub headlines.
Philadelphia showed up last night in their fourth game against the Celtics. They weren't going to get swept, not on their home court. So it looks like Marcus Smart and the Green will play at least a game five. But they knew that what they were getting into last night, didn't you? Didn't you, Marcus Smart?
It is hard. It is hard, but you know we know what we had to do. We knew we were supposed to keep our cool. We knew they were going to come in and try to get a chippy. We knew it. You know, we have a lot more to lose than they did. We knew that. You know, they came in and they did it.
103-92 the final. Sixers take game four. Game five will be tomorrow night at the Garden. Cavaliers beat the Raptors 128-93. They advance. Both Houston and Golden State can advance tonight. They're both home for Game 5s in their series. Capitals over the Penguins 2-1 in overtime. They move on to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Lightning. Red Sox and Yankees play the first of three tonight in New York. Drew Pomeranz opposes Luis Severino. And some new Patriots jersey numbers to announce. Jason McCourty is taking number 30 from Daron Harmon. Daron Harmon is taking number 21. That was worn by Malcolm Butler. Headlines are brought to you by. Happy
he's
to tell you.
Over, he's turning over a new leaf.
Spectrum. Oh, yeah, yes.
Or he's smoking one. I don't know. He's doing something.
Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, hiring field technicians. Visit their open house tomorrow at 301 Barber Avenue in Worcester. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yankees will play a series in London next year. You want to go?
No.
No? You want to take that on the road?
No.
You sure?
Start a camp.
Be a fun trip. They'll face each other for two regular season games at London Stadium next year.
I know. Hit the ball here.
June 20th, 29th and 30th, 2019.
You know what's cool about the London game?
It'll be the first time that Major League Baseball has held games in Europe.
You get to walk around as a fan and have the newspaper rolled up like a cone, and it's got actual fish and chips right there, and that's part of one of the concessions. Pretty neat. Have some fish and chips.
I'm sorry, you're... I don't even
I was amazed. I was sitting in the stands calling a game in London.
With Hardy, what am I supposed to do?
And I'm looking,
that?
And I'm like, hey.
That they have fish and chips in
what's
London.
What's that guy have down there that's rolled up in a cone? One of our tech guys goes, it's fish and chips. I'm like, shut up. It was unreal.
Wait, you have fish and chips here?
That's better than a hot dog or, here, get your peanuts, popcorn, cotton candy here. Fish and chips, rolled up newspaper in a cone. Pretty cool. Like, if you're going over as an American, red-blooded American, you're going to buy it over there because I'm going to do what they do here. I'm going to drink tea, I'm going to eat fish and chips. I'm going to have some bangers and mash, some spotted dick, and then we're going to go home. Yeah, you know?
Sounds like you need to stay for a total of like 6-7 hours.
That's it. Go to Abbey Road, walk across, do the Beetle Walk. Pretty cool.
The Beetle
I did
or
that.
Beatles?
Beatles Walk. Beetle. Beatles should do the Beetle Walk. They should send you over.
Oh, my God. That'd be perfect.
That would.
That'd be worth it.
You and Chachi. Chachi can take the picture.
What I want to do?
I want to ask baseball why they're doing this.
This is
what's
so
the point
stupid.
Of this?
Right.
couple of random games in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, they're going to expand the baseball market to London.
Are they?
No. They're not.
Are they?
They're
like,
never
all of a sudden, you're going to convince the people of Europe to start watching Major League Baseball? That's not
you
going
can't.
You can barely get Americans to watch Major League Baseball.
Look, if you want to talk about the NFL, you could conceive of an NFL team in London someday.
Yes.
It's like I can wrap my head around that.
It would suck, but yeah, I could see it.
It might not. We don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I could wrap
my
head around it.
It's not a sport over there. It's a sport in Japan. It's a sport. They played games in Japan.
I'm talking about the logistics of it, though. You're not going to put a baseball team in London.
Never, ever. The sport doesn't even exist over there.
Well, not only that, but how do you figure out your schedule if you're the London team? Like, you just go stateside? It's like you're going to have to play teams out on the West Coast?
Can you imagine David Price pitching in London in April when it's cold and chilly?
Constantly.
It's one thing I do remember about London. Rainy and chilly. Two times we were over there. It's a great city. It really is my favorite city.
What are the odds one of those games gets rained out? Might be pretty good.
No, there'd probably be a dome.
It'd be like, what do you mean they can't play in the rain?
What's London Stadium like? It's open air.
Wembley? Oh, it's wide open.
No, no, not Wembley.
No, it's the Olympic one, right?
London Stadium. It's the open air Olympic Stadium.
Interesting.
Yep. Okay. Open air. So it could get rained out. That would suck. Play a doubleheader. Play a doubleheader the next day.
You have to go back for the makeup games.
Yeah.
Fly back over to London.
Yep.
Try it again.
Imagine Pete Abraham over in London.
No, tell me about it.
Look at this one. He blends. He's got the yellow teeth like us.
I've never met Pete in person. I can't speak to that. I think that's mean.
I don't know the quality of his teeth.
I think that's mean.
Unaware.
Well, Jack Edwards. I know. One or the other.
I'm sorry?
Jack Edwards. He has yellow teeth.
What?
Who?
Jack Edwards.
He has yellow teeth.
He has yellow teeth?
His teeth teeth looked pretty good during the playoff run, I thought.
Let's crest white strips.
I don't know if I can do this anymore today.
Yeah.
Why don't you go home?
It's too nice outside.
It's very nice.
I'm going to go play golf or something.
It is the perfect day outside. It really is.
Meanwhile, Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts and Meghan Markle may have a bloodline.
They may not.
No.
They either related or you're not.
I mean, you don't. I can't personally confirm it, but someone else is claiming it to be true.
Is he invited to the wedding?
Red Sox star Mookie Betts and actress Meghan Markle, which she's going to be marrying into the family. She's going to be marrying Prince Harry. That wedding is coming up May 19th at Windsor Castle. We know how much Hardy loves a royal wedding. They could be distant relatives. This according to Jim McNiff. He's a retired college professor who works on ancestry projects, and he's the same guy who tied Tom Brady's family roots back to Boston. He found that Betts' great-grandfather, Joseph Betts,
go to Ancestry.com,
and Markle's great-great-grandfather, Jacob Betts, were from Madison County, Alabama, both of the Betts family of Madison County, Alabama. Well, McNiff's research was inconclusive as to whether Jacob and Joseph were related, he found that many of the residents of Madison County were descendants of slaves that were owned by Alicia Betts. Mookie Betts is expected to be in London next summer for a two-game series with the Yankees.
Gotta be. They gotta be related.
I mean, they assume that they are.
Sure, why not?
That's a pretty strong connection.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I'll agree to it.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that Jim McNiff is not being conclusive in his findings, but he's presenting strong evidence that would indicate Mookie Betts and Meghan Markle may be related.
Well, maybe they'll get along. You know, is it Meghan Markle's stepbrother who says she's a big jerk and don't get married to her?
Yeah. Yeah. It's some.
That's my favorite.
It's interesting reading regarding this wedding that they tend to admit on the local news a lot. They pump the coverage. Hart, are you looking forward to our local coverage? Of all the local stations sending three people over and footing that bill in London, overseas flights.
It's Thomas Markle,
right?
Yeah. Meghan's half brother
wrote a letter to Prince Harry. He said, "Don't marry my half sister." He said it'll be the biggest mistake in royal wedding history, and says she's a jaded, shallow, conceited woman.
Do we have the right guy? I mean, I'm reading Thomas Markle, her brother, half-brother, was arrested in January of last year in Oregon for allegedly holding a gun to a woman's head during a drunken argument.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like the guy.
So he has a crazy gene. It's going to be good down the road.
Fun to spice up the royal family.
Yeah.
He did not receive an invite to the wedding.
Does Queen have any comments lately? She'll be at the wedding, right?
Who?
Queen. The Queen will be at the wedding, right?
Yeah.
She's throwing this party. Like, what, say you're invited to this. She if is? You're one of the fortunate to be invited. What do you give them? What's the gift? Candlesticks?
It's really more of a concern for the Met Gala type of crowd. Yeah. I want nothing to do with that either.
There's regular commoners that have been invited to this party.
Cash is always good at a wedding. I'd slide him my standard three bills and say, good luck, kids.
You're a standard three bills guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
12-pack of Guinness? I don't know.
I don't know.
Gift card, local pub?
It was too much a few years ago. It may not be enough.
No, I think you're probably right on the money because it should be like minimum $250.
Yeah.
For two people.
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah. You got three bills.
Yeah, so that's good.
Cash. Cash is always accepted as a gift. Thank you.
Always works.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Plus, I got to understand you're coming to town. You're going to spend a lot of money in London. So the gift should be shorter.
Right. I mean, for close friends,
that's
relatives.
True. Destination wedding, yeah.
Destination weddings. You always get the shaft on the gift.
Well, the gift is your presence.
Yeah, I'm here. We put effort, and you got babysitters covering the kids. A long flight, 9 hours. Yeah. Grosvenor House, $8.50 for a Diet Coke downstairs. I about died on that one.
Where?
I don't know. Hardy, just leave it
alone.
We
stayed at Grosvenor House right on Hyde Park when the Patriots went over there. Went downstairs for a soda. $8.50 U.S. Currency for a soda in the hotel.
That's why you got to get the euros before you go.
Well, I did, yeah.
Or they don't have euros in London, do they?
I don't know.
And they use their own currency there?
Yeah, Britcoin.
Better find out before you go to that wedding.
Bitcoin.
You just said Britcoin. Britcoin. There we go. That's the one to send it to break on.
Britcoin.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right now, your chance to go to the Mass Pirates game this Saturday. Sports Hub night at the Mass Pirates. Call the contest line. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll score a 4-pack of tickets to Sports Hub night at the Mass Pirates Saturday, this Saturday, DCU Center. For tickets, visit masspiratesfootball.com. I read something that I agree with. That I agree with as it relates to the Boston Bruins. And it means we're going to have to find a new weekly guest on this show. Not that he calls us every week. Not that he hasn't, you know.
Jaffe?
Hasn't called us in months. Fudo Shinzawa suggests that it might be time to trade Torey Krug. Just hearing that, what's your reaction? Are you
I can
interested?
Understand why.
Do you want to hear why?
Yeah, I want to hear. I'm interested because we talked about this yesterday. Actually, you did. You brought it up. You know, as far as going back to when did they win that last? When did they score a last even strength goal, 5-on-5? It was with Torey Krug in game two, and I made the comment that to even take it a step further, he's not even a forward. He's a defenseman. You're like, well, kind of, but an offensive minded one. But he's really an offensive guy, defensive guy. He's kind of stuck in the middle. And once you get there through a certain amount of time to where, okay, you know what this is, and you see what Tampa had from a defensive standpoint, it's kind of what you want. You want the Charles Seidenberg-type defenders. And I'm trying to think of, you know, really good defensive pairings throughout the league that you really want to get to in front of Tuukka, because Tuukka was pretty good in the series, even though there were goals let out. And I understand that. But you could be better in front of him to help him. And with two Krug sides and his offensive ability, maybe you want to go more defensive-minded to where, okay, we want a defensive guy, period. So I'm interested to hear.
For The Athletic, he says they allowed, as a pairing, Carlo and Krug, 51.9 attempts per 60 minutes of 5-on-5 play. That's more than Chara McAvoy at 47.2 and Grizzlick Miller at 48 flat. He says the question the Bruins need to answer is whether Krug's offensive touch is worth the defensive compromise. Mm-hmm. It would be one thing if the Bruins had a thicker defender behind the 5'9" Krug. They do not. They have Grizzlick, who is also 5'9". Grizzlick is very good at using his rapid feet and long stick to deny entries and suppress shots, but like Krug, Grizzlick is not at his best when trying to deter strongmen deep in the defensive zone. Consider the following as proof of Cassidy's reluctance of deploying Krug and Grizzlick as defenders. 27 minutes, 49 seconds, and 3 minutes, 59 seconds, the regular season sums of their short-handed ice time. Chara, meanwhile, played 266 minutes and 25 seconds. What does that tell you? As a defender, there's a lot to be desired there. If you believe the Bruins need help defensively, and you're looking to move one of the guys in the defensive group, who do you look to move? Krug may have some value to another
team. I think he has great value. I think he's a good player. I like Torrey.
Offensively, he gives you something. On the power play, he gives you something. There's something there. For a team that wants to get who is in the opposite situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're defensive heavy. We need a puck moving defenseman. Remember the years here where we're like, come on, we need that Tomas Cabrera type guy.
He says Krug is 27 years old, 2 years remaining at $5.25 million annually, and will have partial no trade protection in each of the final 2 years. He's got 2 years left at just over five.
Tons of experience.
Now, offensively, that number makes sense, that salary. Defensively, it does not. He says Krug is earning fair market value for his strengths. Right. And that's putting it nicely, according to Fluto, because defensively, he doesn't provide enough defensively to warrant the salary. So he's a tad bit overpaid. Tad. Says though, as those assets, however, may serve the Bruins best through a trade. Krug is a valuable player for the Bruins, but a team that could use his skills may have a left-shot defender that could better suit the Bruins' needs. This, to me, is a prime candidate for a trade because you actually could, you know, get something in a trade for this particular player.
Which would be fine, but are you going to get somebody back who is going to also provide you some of the offense that Torrey Krug does? Because to me, as much as they might need help defensively, they can't afford to give up anything offensively.
Okay, but can't you make up for that with another move for another forward? I mean, there's going to be moves made on this team before next season.
But you can only play so many forwards at a time. You've got a guy out there on the ice right now in Krug who can give you some offense while he's maybe not the best defenseman. He's not a top pairing, maybe not even a top two pairing. Fine. It's a third pairing defenseman. But he does provide offense when he's out there. You're going to be able to get somebody who can do that also?
Do you need that offense? You absolutely need that offense at the end of the day.
They need offense.
What's important, getting the offense from him or getting a better defenseman? What's going to be more valuable to the team?
I understand that people aren't in love with him, but I don't remember looking back on a ton of games this year and saying like, oh, that's Torrey Krug's fault. That's Torrey Krug's fault. Or something happened.
Because in critical defensive situations, he's off the ice. I just gave you those stats. Chara's on the ice. That's why Chara played 10 times the amount
that
Krug did in shorthanded situations.
Which is why we went crazy when we had that anti-Chara call yesterday. It was the first call out of the
play. Well, you could say that the head coach is protecting him.
But you also need him out there on the special team. So you got to protect his minutes there, too.
How do special teams look?
Well, after
how do power plays look?
Well, specifically at the very end when Krug wasn't out there, terrible.
Yeah.
In the last game, that's my point. Okay, it was a pretty damn good hockey team this year, and Torrey Krug he wasn't a problem on it. So the call to trade Torrey Krug, to me, is careful what you wish for, because you could end up changing things. You're gonna have to think about more than Krug right now. What are you gonna do to replace Chara in another year?
Right.
Chara's gonna play one more year, and that's it. What are you going to do about his replacement?
Torrey Krug and Kevin Miller were on the ice for 10 5-on-5 goals in this playoffs. That's the most of any duo in the National Hockey League.
Ooh. Ouch.
That one hurts.
No, trade Tuca.
Sure. You Michigan State
you
people.
Sure. You oh, well, okay.
Yeah, you
factors
sure.
in a little bit.
It sure does.
When teams don't match up in the regular season like they do in the playoffs, so they identified Krug and Miller and matched up, and they got their goals.
Yes. Yes. Especially what
almost that second line, the Braden Point line, beat the bag out of them.
Sneaky good coaching comment.
In Toronto and in Tampa, absolutely. When they got the last change, they're like, oh. It's not, they don't have their top pairing defensemen out there. Let's get some goal scorers out
here. Get some of your calls on the Bruins, 617-779-0985. We're going to have Billy Jaffe with us tomorrow.
Louis.
We're going to sort of transition into the offseason for the Bruins, continue to wrap things up. We'll get some of your thoughts on this idea, trading Torey Krug. Early offseason thoughts from Fluto at theathletic.com. Later in the noontime hour, 12:50, we're giving away another one of those four-pack of passes Ooh. For the dinner cruise. Excuse me.
I like that.
The brunch cruise.
Right.
Brunch. That's a breakfast
Mother's
lunch
Day brunch
combo.
Cruise. Yep.
We'll give that away at 12:50
Plus,
right here.
One of my irrational hatreds. We have some audio.
Yeah, we're going to get to that as well. Right here, just headlines, 90 seconds.